good afternoon. I call the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee meeting to order. Today is Thursday, July 14, 2022. The time is 1:05 p.m. Please silence your cell phones. This is Chair Natasha Von Imhoff in the Denali Room at the Anchorage LIO, and we have the following members present here in Anchorage. We have Vice Chair Chris Tuck, Senator Bert Stedman, Senator Laura Reinbold, Representative Neil Foster, Representative Andy Josephson, and Representative James Kaufman. With the members on, and then we have Representative Ivy Sponholz. With the members online, let's see, legislators, I see Representative Dan Ortiz and Senator Keel online. And in the room, I see Senator Josh Reback and Representative Matt Klayman. Okay, thank you. We do have a quorum to do business. The alternates are not expected to vote today, but will vote if needed for a quorum. So the first item on the agenda is the approval of previous minutes. I think folks have minutes in front of them. Representative Tuck, do you have a motion to approve the minutes?
I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the minutes for the March 3rd, 2022, March 15th, 2022, and April 8th, 2022 meetings as presented.
Is there any objection to approving the minutes? Seeing or hearing none, the minutes from March 3rd, 2022, March 15th, 2022, and April 8th, 2022 are approved as presented. Our next order of business is to further consider the special audit request for the Division of Workers' Compensation. So, Representative Klayman, if you and your staff would please come before the committee. And we also have Chris Curtis here, our legislative auditor. It's up to you, Representative Klayman, if you would like to bring her up or if you...
It would be great if she came forward.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Curtis. So, go ahead, and the seat is yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I presented this at the earlier hearing, so I won't go into a lot of detail. The audit request itself went through a number of iterations before what you see today, and that I would say the biggest input in that was we worked with a number of interest groups, and then I spent a lot of time with Ms. Curtis and went through areas with her that she thought needed to be modified in the request so that we actually were going to be focused on areas that they believe they could reasonably audit within the time frame they're looking at. And so this audit request really does reflect a pretty detailed collaborative process, both with Ms. Curtis, who was kind of the last person to that process, and some interest groups that were involved, including both workers' compensation, insurance, carriers, as well as labor unions and other parties that have interest in helping the whole process of how workers' comp is funded. We talked with some workers' comp attorneys as well.
Okay, so thank you, because I believe that this was brought before the committee in March, and so basically between March and now, the two of you, as well as others, have been working on this, and what you have presented is just the, I guess you'd call it a pared-down draft and a workable draft at this point.
Actually, what we presented in March was what we'd worked with Ms. Curtis.
Okay.
Done all that work before it arrived. There was about 8 months of work in my office with Ms. Curtis and with interest groups that took place in the top session last year. So what you see now, the request reflects a lot of work that Ms. Curtis and I did starting, I think we started about November of last year. Mm-hmm. Her schedule had a lot of things on it, so we started working in November. And suffice it to say that she made a lot of recommendations, and I think everything she recommended.
Okay. So before I take questions and comments, Ms. Curtis, would you like to make a comment on this?
Sure. This is Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. We did work together quite extensively and pared it down, really. I did have concerns about our ability to do such a big, huge lift. But there are things in here I'm not quite sure we'll be able to do because we don't know whether the data is there. So I just wanted that on the record, that there might be some of the objectives that we don't get to because of the lack of data. But we won't know that until we dive in. And when will you estimate you might be able to start this? I don't think we will start for at least 2 years. 2 years. Okay, questions from committee members at all? Okay, well, we appreciate both of you coming and talking to us about this. Again, I stated for the record in the last meeting that my intent is to have this agenda or this audit be holistic, so it's both across the employee and the employer, fair, So it's not necessarily one-sided, but it looks at the whole holistically, and it's fair among all parties involved, and that has a balanced viewpoint. So thank you, and thank you both for working on this. Seeing no further questions then? Okay. With that, Vice Chair Tuck, may I please have a motion to approve the special audit request for the Division of Workers' Compensation?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the special audit request for the Division of Workers' Compensation as presented and amended.
Is there any objection to approving the special audit request? Again, Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. There is a typo on the fourth page, item 7C. Evaluate whether injured workers with cognitive disabilities sign releases without legal counsel. So there's an extra word or. I suggest deleting the word or.
And I completely agree.
Okay. Do we have to have an amendment on this? Through the chair, I believe you should say as amended. Okay. I can approve it as amended. So could you, Representative Tuck, could you restate the motion, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the special audit request for the Division of Workers' Compensation as presented and amended.
Okay. Seeing no objection or hearing no objection approving the special audit, it is passed as amended.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next item is going to be the RPLs. I think everyone has a list of RPLs here in front of you. I'd like to ask Alexi Painter, Legislative Financial Analyst, and Morgan Foss, Department of Fish and Game Financial Analyst, who are on the line, to please put themselves on the record and go over the RPLs before us, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division.
And through the chair, this is Morgan Foss, Legislative Finance Division.
So all nine of these RPLs are similar, Madam Chair. So if you'd like, I can make some comments about them all ahead of time, or I can read through them first, whichever order you prefer.
Thank you. I think because they're all pertaining to the Exxon Valdez oil spill and they're all very similar, if you could just make general comments overall, as well as the time of why we are receiving these now versus normally as part of the budget.
Yes, Madam Chair. So all nine RPLs pertain to projects that will be managed by the Department of Fish and Game, funded with the Exxon Valdez oil spill or EVOS funds. These projects are vetted and approved by the EVOS Trustee Council. The Trustee Council actually approved 70 projects, but over the December and January meetings, the majority of those projects will be managed by federal agencies and thus don't go through the state budgeting process. The legislature approved 6 capital projects to be managed by the state in both the FY22 supplemental and FY23 capital budgets. So these are 9 additional items. And one thing I would note is that the governor vetoed a $200,000 EVOS item in the budget that was added by the legislature. That veto is not related to the RPLs in front of you. So these 9 additional projects were approved in January. They were not brought to the legislature at that time. And, I think the department can maybe speak to why that would be. But they were not submitted as governor's amendments, so they're submitted today as operating items. While these are designed to be a 5-year project, probably would fit better in the capital budget in the long term, they can be funded year to year in the operating budget as proposed by this RPL. We would expect that the department will come back and request a capital project in the supplemental or in the FY24 budget to provide the remaining years of funding. And because they weren't submitted to the legislature at all, they can be considered in the RPL process because they're unanticipated to us. So they're unanticipated revenue from our standpoint, even though there was they were approved previously. And I think that's all the comments I have. The Legislative Finance does not have any technical issues with any of these RPLs.
Thank you, Mr. Painter. We do have Doug Vincent Lang, Commissioner, Department of Fish and Game, on the line. But before I invite him to speak, Mr. Painter, is for the Exxon Valdez oil spill fund called the EVOS, how much is left in the fund after all of this?
I do not have that information in front of me. Maybe Ms. Foss does. If not, we can get back to the committee with that.
Okay, if you could do that, I'm just curious if this is going to continue to be an ongoing concern or if this particular fund is going to wind down. So I also would like to state for the record that Senator Hoffman has joined us. So Commissioner Vincent Lang, could you state yourself for the record and if you have any comments on these RPLs?
Yes, this is Doug Vincent Lang, Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. So the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trust Fund was created largely to address the impacts associated with the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill. There's three state trustees, of which I'm one. The Commissioner of DEC, Jason Bruning, is another one, and then Craig Taylor from the Department of Law is the third one. Then there's three federal trustees. The distribution of those funds and what projects are funded is done by the trustees and has to be unanimous vote. So last year, if you remember, recall right, we were trying to the governor's office budget transferred the functionality of the EVO's trustee council from Fish and Game over to DEC, and we had assumed that DEC was covering the distribution of these funds in their budget. I had put in my budget the ones that were coming to Fish and Game as a result of those decisions, but not these nine projects, which are really pass-through funding to different entities to conduct work that were approved by the trustee council. And I wasn't following through closely enough on that to make sure that this pass-through money was put into the budget. With respect to the work, it's all work that all six trustees agreed needed to be done. We, at the last meeting a year ago, we developed a spend plan to spend this money down in the next 5 to 10 years. This is part of the plan to spend this money down so that we can close this account down, and hopefully within 5 to 10 years it's closed down and we've completed the work. And if you want, I can go through any one of these nine projects and talk about them or who the money is being passed through to, but this is largely just caught us off guard that at Fish and Game that we needed to account for this money to get out to the recipients so that this work can get done.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. So just to reiterate, it looks that the six board members are looking to, rather than maintaining this fund as an ongoing concern and spinning off 5% of it each year to various different projects in the Prince William Sound area, the six board members have opted to wind down the fund within the next decade. Is that correct?
Yes, that's completely correct.
Okay, and then the projects that we are awarding today and into the future, the Fish and Game Department under your tutelage and whoever the next commissioner is will be monitoring and accounting for the effectiveness of these grants and maybe present something to either this committee or to the legislative appropriate committees about how these monies were spent and if they were effective or not in their intentions.
Yeah, that's completely correct. We would be happy to report back on any of the monies that we're responsible for distributing out.
Okay.
And again, these have all gone through both a trustee council review, the staff review, who have scientists on staff, as well as a public advisory committee review. So all of these projects have gone through some level of review and have support out in the community.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Tepp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Mr. Commissioner has mentioned that these were approved in January, but they were not submitted as part of our budgeting process during the session. Can you explain why that may have been?
I think it just got caught in between the spokes of the wheel. Again, we were trying to transfer this over to DEC. I think DEC assumed Fish and Game was covering these projects that were pass-through funds, and Fish and Game was thinking that DEC was covering it as part of the proposed budget. versus the operational piece of it. So I had covered the ones that were coming directly to Fish and Game to do work associated with Exxon, but I wasn't covering these. So they just kind of slipped through the cracks, and I take partial responsibility for that.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to make a quick comment that I have been concerned over the last few years about the RPO process circumventing the normal legislative process, and I just don't want to keep walking down this path of seeing stuff like this happen. Thank you, Matt.
And I promise it won't happen again. It was now that we've made the decision to leave this in Fish and Game.
Thank you.
Any further questions? So our options here, is it within protocol to do a consent agenda, or do we want to go through each one of these in particular? Okay, so I think what we may do is a consent. Okay, so Vice Chair Tuck, would you please make a motion to move the RPLs?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the following RPLs as presented to the committee. All RPLs pertain to the Department of Fish and Game. 11-2023-0001, Port Graham Corporation General Restoration Habitat Protection, to the tune of $3,271,353. The Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Settlement, which is a 1018 EVOS operating. 11-2023-0002, the Kenai Peninsula Stream Watch, $151,871. EVOS settlement, which is 1018 EVOS operating. 11-2023-0003, status and trends of EVOS injured seabirds, $354,871. EVOS settlement, 1018 EVOS operating. 11-2023-004, Chugach Regional Ocean Monitoring Program, $892,950. EVOS settlement, 1018 EVOS operating. 11-2023-0005, Prince William Sound Kelp Mariculture Development for Habitat Restoration and Local Economy, $1,064,505. EVOS settlement, 1018 EVOS operating. 11-2023-0006, Social, Cultural, and Economic Assessment of Kelp Mariculture. More agriculture opportunities for coastal villages within the EVOS spill zone, $1,108,199. EVOS settlement, 1018 EVOS operating. 11-2023-0007, Community Organized Restoration and Learning Network, $3,543,600. EVOS settlement, 1018 EVOS operating. 11-2023-0008, Prince William Sound Natural History Symposium, $32,729. EVOS settlement, 1018 EVOS operating. And last, 11-2023-0009, Culture Camp funding for the Chugach region, $719,251. EVOS settlement, 1018 EVOS operating.
Thank you. We have a motion to move the RPLs forward. Do we have objection for moving the RPLs forward? Seeing and hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Painter, Ms. Foss, and thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much.
Okay, our next order of business is to go into executive session to discuss legal guidance regarding the audit opinion qualifications and review and consider the fiscal year 21 single audit and the Alaska CARES Act Small Business Program Relief Special Audit. So, Vice Chair Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee go into executive session on the Uniform Rule 22B3 for the discussion of matters that may, by law, be required to be confidential. I ask that the following members remain in the room or online: Megan Wallace, Legislative Legal Counsel and necessary staff, the Legislative Auditor and necessary staff for the Auditor, any legislators not on the committee, staff for legislators who are members of the committee, and House Finance staff.
Is there objection to the executive session motion? Seeing none, we will go into executive session after a brief at ease to clear the room. We are at ease.
Thank you. This is the Budget and Audit Committee. We are back online outside of our executive session. It is about 3:41 p.m. Members present are myself, Chair Von Imhoff, Vice Chair Chris Tuck, Senator Bert Stedman, Senator Laura Reinvolt, Representative Neil Foster, Representative James Kaufman, Representative Andy Josephson, Representative Ivy Sponholz. Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. We also have online, we had Senator Rivak in the room. Online, we have Representative Ortiz, Senator Keel. We have Representative Hannon for quite some time. She's off right now. And then we have Representative Edgman. Okay. During the executive session, we discussed confidential matters related to audits. And we are going to have first of two motions. So Representative Tuck for our first motion.
Madam Chair, I move that the following preliminary audit be released to the agencies for their formal comment. Fiscal year 21 single audit, and then the Alaska CARES Act Small Business Relief Program special audit.
Is there any objection for that motion? Seeing and hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, Representative Tuck, we have a second motion, if you'd like to make that motion.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, under the authority of Alaska Statute 2420-201A, authorize a contract for legal services not to exceed $100,000 to undertake litigation on behalf of the legislative branch regarding the deposit of certain state taxes and royalties resulting from Federal Regulatory Commission FERC decisions into the general fund as opposed to the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund as required under Article 9, Section 17A of the Alaska Constitution. I further move that the LBNA authorize the chair to give direction to legal services and outside counsel regarding the litigation.
Thank you. I'm going to object for discussion purposes. And I open the floor at this time. Representative Sponholz.
So I want to speak in support of advancing litigation. This is the issue with regard to the qualification on our audit related to the FERC settlement and whether or not those funds should go to the CBR or the general fund has been an issue that has resulted in qualified state single audits now for the last 4 years, and is an issue that really, frankly, we just need to resolve so we can have a nice, clean audit moving forward. I think it's really important to be clear. Our intent is not, we're not interested in having conflict, but really in just bringing some legal resolution to a specific, disagreement between the auditor and attorney generals from a couple of different administrations that has resulted in some in these qualifications in our state single audits that are sort of problematic. And if we get this resolution moving forward, we should have clarity and just absolutely put this to bed. I'm hoping that we can do this as smoothly and as friendly way as possible moving forward.
Thank you, Senator Stedman.
Thank you. Just for a little bit of clarity, as mentioned, it goes back to the previous administration, and what we're having a difficulty with agreeing with the administration is the amount of monies that we owe the Constitutional Budget Reserve. And it's roughly about a $1.5 billion spend. Legislature feels that we owe the $1.5 billion to the CBR. Administration feels, and it will have an impact at some point in the future when and if we ever pay back the CBR. We would have to actually pay back more. And we need to clarify the issue. So this is not a political spat between the two branches of the government at all. It's a technical discussion and technical disagreement on the balance of the Constitutional Budget Reserve that goes back to the administration. We just need to move forward and get it settled by the third branch of government, the courts that act as the referee between the two bodies. So we can have an agreed upon set of rules. That's what we're trying to do. So those watching at home, I just don't read things into this that don't exist. This is a technical cleanup that's been going on. This disagreement's been going on for several years, and we just need to clean it up. So I support Madam Chairman moving this forward so we can get this taken care of, hopefully for the next set of, or the next audit. It'll be concluded, and we'll agree on what is owed to the CBR between the executive branch and the legislature, and whatever that amount is, that's what it is. There's no impact on any of the expenditure issues that the funds were expended on several years ago. So, you know, for the public, don't misread any of that. There'll be a little bit of accounting cleanup, but that's not the issue. The issue is just, do we owe it to the CBR?
Thank you, through the chair. I want to thank both members for those prior comments. As everyone on this committee knows, I'm always saying that part of solving problems is to, you know, proceed as collaboratively as possible. And those earlier comments reflect that. If we can close this, this will be the culmination of our top 10 audit closure efforts that we've been doing. This is kind of the crown jewels of that, and so it's definitely worthy of closing it for a number of reasons. And if we can do it successfully in an even keeled way that shows that we can really work through big problems, we'll be all the better for it. And then we can launch into our next top 10 or top 20 after that, whatever the process will be as we go forward. So I thank the members for those comments.
Thank you. We do have Megan Wallace, Director of Ledge Legal, on the line. Ms. Wallace, I would invite you, if you want to make just a quick comment on this based on your availability and resources for this lawsuit.
Hi. For the record, this is Megan Wallace, the Legal Services Director. I guess the only comment that I'll make, as you mentioned, is with respect to the resources of the Legal Services Division. The Legal Services Division is, of course, always ready and willing to serve the needs of the legislature, but given our responsibilities as it leads into session and pre-file towards the end of the year and the uncertainty sometimes that litigation tends to bring, I support the committee's decision to retain outside counsel for this issue and will be available to assist the chair and the committee with any need to coordinate and work alongside outside counsel on this matter to get this issue resolved for the legislature.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Yeah, I'm going to support the motion. I would say that there's been a lot of focus on the meaning of the CBR and its requirements. And we saw that in litigation involving PCE and the Higher Education Investment Fund. This is another element of it. It's the record, I think, should reflect that the last two administrations have believed that that the funds in dispute are general funds and not to be deposited in the CBR. But the greater thing that I think this reflects is that we still need a comprehensive fiscal plan, and so there's a dispute over limited resources. And in the late aughts, you wouldn't have seen these kinds of disputes because we had plenty of other money. So that's another issue that this reflects. And I have confidence in our legislative attorneys, and they should, in my view, come to us in the future if they feel that that the matter should be referred to outside counsel to ease their workload, and I encourage them to do that.
Thank you. Well, if there's no further comments, I'm just going to give my summary comment here. This has been going on for approximately going on this fifth year. This has been going on for a while. This committee, as well as the executive branch, is well aware of the disagreement. This disagreement or conflict will continue into the future each year as settlements come in, so it's not going to go away. With the there's no point in waiting because of how long this has been going on and how often we've looked at this, so no better time than of the essence. There are consequences for kicking the can down the road. We have the state as a borrower, as could be perceived as a higher risk when we want to attract new investment or confidence as a state, as an investment partner. This is an issue by continually having a qualified audit. And it is important, again, this is a friendly lawsuit. It is just trying to determine interpretation of an accounting process. This is not antagonistic. That's not the intent of this committee. So with that, I will remove my objection, and I will ask if there's any further objection from any committee members. Seeing or hearing none, this motion passes. Okay. Is there any further business to come in front of the committee? Senator, or Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, through the chair. With respect to the prior comment about our top 10 process, I'm going to suggest that in future meetings that we discuss how to codify that so that we have the guidelines within our LBNA committee process, so that despite the departure of some of us, all of us, as time goes by indeed, that we leave that process behind and we set the basic framework for it so that future committees will continue to drive that process to reduce audit findings, to do criticality rankings and pursue the highest level problems and try and resolve them.
Thank you. I can put that in the September agenda. This committee will be meeting in September, October, and December. Just a point on your calendars. Senator Rangel? To me, audits are one of the most important functions of the legislature. I think looking back is critically important. Very grateful for these audits, but I personally find significant problems, and just to wave them or brush them under the carpet and, oh, that's okay, just not training or whatever, to me is irresponsible. And I think that there were significant delays, and I think that billions of dollars being spent and significant audits, 25 and over the, all of the COVID money, the 1.25 billion. Anyway, I'll just make my comments. I just think we have a $19 billion budget, whether the single state audit looks at different departments. There's lots of money at stake. Let's just get the facts straight here. And the bottom line here is not holding people accountable, I think, just creates an environment where it's okay to continue that behavior. So I'm going to ask that we hold people accountable, not everybody necessarily, but I do think I think it's critically important. And I think when we do get the federal audit of the COVID money or the departments with the most significant red flags that we see over and over and over again, I would ask that we do legislation, we address it in the budget. But I think it's critically important, knowing that some agencies rate Alaska as a fairly corrupt state. I just think it's critically important that I would like to clean things up. But I would like to say that I think we have a fabulous audit department. I really do. I've seen, since I was a freshman, incredible work done by your department, and I just don't want it to all go by the wayside. I think there just needs to be some corrections. So with that, I hope we do. When the public does digest this, and I hope they'll look at this, I really hope that when the federal audit comes out, then where there's significant red flags, that we don't just turn a blind eye, but we actually expect some corrective action. So with that, thank you, Mr. Bunninghoff.
Thank you. I appreciate everyone being here today, and thank you, Ms. Curtis. Your work is impeccable. It is thorough. It is informative. Thank you. You and your team do incredible work. And thank you, Ms. Wallace, for being here the whole time as well. And thank you for being on the phone. Okay, everyone, enjoy your August. We'll see you in about 6-7 weeks. And we are adjourned. All right, we did it.